With just over a week to go before Election Day, early voter turnout is surging. Why many Americans are showing up to the polls to vote in person.
There was one woman I spoke to who was a 73-year-old retired teacher who said, "I want to see the ballot go in."
And the Dow has its worst day in weeks. Plus, how a scrapped public health campaign is leaving Santa out in the cold. It's Monday, October 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. U.S. coronavirus infections continue rising. The seven-day average of new confirmed cases has reached an all-time high of more than 68,000. That included two back-to-back days where cases topped 80,000. That's according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of data from Johns Hopkins University. Many health officials predicted a surge in new infections this fall as temperatures get colder and people move indoors. But the current surge is happening sooner than expected. U.S. stocks ended the day down on that news and as hopes faded for another stimulus package before Election Day after Congress and the White House failed to reach an agreement. The Dow closed down 650 points or 2.3%, the worst day for the index since September 3rd. The Nasdaq lost 1.6% and the S&P 500 fell nearly 1.9%. Chinese financial technology company Ant Group's public debut is expected to be a blockbuster. Our reporter Peter Rudiger has the latest details on Ant's plans.
This IPO is going to shatter a bunch of different records. If they raise the $34 billion that they said they would raise in their filings, that will be the biggest IPO of all time. It will exceed the Saudi Aramco IPO from last year and also the IPO of Alibaba, which Ant was spun out of several years ago, that only raised $25 billion back in 2014. At the valuation that the IPO will give Ant more than $300 billion, it will also make the company one of the most valuable financial or technology companies in the world. So just for context, MasterCard has a market value of about $300 billion as well.
Ant is bypassing U.S. stock exchanges for the offering. The company says its Hong Kong stock will begin trading on November 5th. A Shanghai listing is expected to be on the same day. The Senate is set to confirm Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett this evening to fill a vacancy left by the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Republican Senator Mitt Romney plans to vote in favor of the nomination.
She is a woman of unquestionable character and integrity, the presence of which is essential to our nation, as the confidence of the court itself is in the balance.
But many Democrats protested the timing of the vote so close to Election Day. Washington Senator Patty Murray.
We should not be voting on this lifetime appointment while the American people themselves are in the middle of voting, of telling us how they want this country's future to look.
Barrett's ascendance would expand a conservative majority on the court. The White House is planning an outdoor event for Barrett after the vote. And the parent company of Dunkin' and Baskin-Robbins is in early talks to be acquired by Inspire Brands, the company that owns restaurant chains including Arby's, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Jimmy John's. Dunkin' has suffered from lower sales during the pandemic and said in July that it would close about 800 of its U.S. locations. Coming up after the break, what's behind a continued surge in early voting? Across the country, Americans are lining up for early in-person voting, and they're breaking records with just over a week to go before Election Day. More than 20 states have already exceeded 2016's early voting levels. Election analysts say overall turnout could reach its highest rate in more than a century. Joining me now with more details is our reporter, Cameron McWhorter. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Over the weekend, there were a lot of pictures and reports of long lines at polling places across the country as voters headed out to cast their votes early and in person. Cameron, what can you tell us broadly about what we saw over the weekend across the country?
Well, it's a continuation or maybe a culmination of what's been going on for weeks, which is early voting. People are pouring in to vote early or to cast ballots via mail or drop boxes early in a lot of states that never really either had this at all or had it very, you know, it was a very small portion of the general voting population. So there's a whole host of reasons. One is the coronavirus, of course. They want to be done with getting their ballot in. Also, I think the people we're talking to generally are sick of the election and they just want it to be over, whatever side they're on. They just want this election to be over. They want to cast their ballot and move on with their the many challenges they have in their life regarding corona, regarding the economy, et cetera.
That's an interesting point. What can you tell us about people who are deciding to turn up in person rather than mail in their ballots? What are some of the reasons people feel it's important to get out there and go to a polling place in person to cast their votes?
That's a great question. I'm based in Atlanta, so I was driving around Georgia talking to voters, and there was a great concern about voting by mail. There's concern that they might not have filled out the form correctly, or they wouldn't hear if there was a problem, or there's concerns about it getting delivered in time. So there's lots of concerns by voters that I interviewed who were in line at various early voting stations saying they didn't trust the mails to get their vote counted in, and they wanted to see it. There was one woman I spoke to who was a 73-year-old retired teacher who said, I want to see the ballot go in. And with the machines we have in Georgia at this point, that's exactly what happens. You print out your vote, and then you take it to a locked box, and you see it go in, and then it says this vote has been counted.
How are polling places handling the surge so far? We're still just about a week away from Election Day itself. What are some of the big challenges for polling locations?
Volume, obviously. So as these early voting stations open, so for example, New York just opened over the weekend, there were long lines, a lot of pent-up voters eager to cast their ballots. You've seen a lot of long lines those first couple of days. So when Georgia had its early voting, those first days, there were hours-long wait for people to cast their ballot. Now it's 10 minutes, you're in and out. So there's a lot of pent-up eagerness to cast their ballot and be done with it. But as the days go by, it gets easier and easier. But volume is the biggest problem. How do you manage, particularly in a coronavirus situation, how do you manage people coming in and casting their ballots safely?
What can you tell us about how votes are being tabulated? Are some states tallying them as they're coming in person, or will most start counting on Election Day? In other words, might the surge in early voting mean we can get the final results sooner?
It's a total mishmash. Some states have allowed for the counting early. Some have allowed for the tabulation early, you know, that these are registered votes and put in a special place. Some are not allowing it. So it's really going to be a mishmash. And what's going to happen election night, I have no idea, and either does anyone else. And we're going to see a real mishmash across the country.
Does the surge in voting at this point indicate whether voters are turning out for one candidate over the other? What can it tell us about voting among Democrats versus Republicans, for example?
That's a great question, and we asked experts about that, and the answer was we don't know. And to try to draw a conclusion one way or another would be premature. A lot of partisans, of course, are trying to paint it one way or another. You know, these early voting means X for Joe Biden, or it means Y for Donald Trump. And the truth is, we just don't know. There's heavy turnout in Democratic areas, urban Democratic areas, where there have been long lines. But there's heavy turnout in rural areas as well, where there that are traditionally Republican. So we just don't know yet what that's going to mean, although everybody, all the partisans want to portray it one way or another.
What should voters know about the timeline for when we might see results and what we might see Election Day and in the days immediately following?
Every state's going to be different. A lot of state officials are anxious about all this, just like voters are. I think they're urging everyone to vote early. And I think if you're a concerned voter, voting early is the smart way to go. Vote however you can, you know, whether it's by mail or whatever you feel comfortable with, or go in person. But the earlier you vote, the earlier your vote is going to be counted, and the earlier we'll all know what's going on.
Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhirter. Cameron, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great talking to you.
And finally, we're all waiting for a coronavirus vaccine to be made available, and it's become a bit of a political football. Now we report that a federal health agency wanted to get Santa in on the game. As part of a $250 million campaign, Department of Health and Human Services official Michael Caputo tried to enlist celebrities and the Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas to promote the benefits of getting a COVID-19 vaccination. On a phone call, Caputo offered the order's chairman, Rick Irwin, early access to the vaccine in exchange for his group's help, even before the shots were going to be available to the public.
Yeah, if you and your colleagues are not essential workers, I don't know what is.
I love you.
HHS says the Santa plan has now been scratched, and the rest of the campaign is under review. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.